Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text is the gospel just read. When Mary visited her, Elizabeth exclaimed, "Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The visit had been Mary's idea, conceived suddenly and arranged quickly and executed with haste. She hadn't wanted to stay in her hometown for long, not with the news starting to spread. She was only a young woman after all, and she was pregnant, but her fiancé was not the father. How could she explain that? Who could she turn to for support? Well, the angel Gabriel had told her of her older relative Elizabeth, who had conceived, and she decided to go there. The story of an unwed woman being in a crisis pregnancy could take place anywhere, anytime. It happens in a variety of situations every day, all across the world. It could have been ancient Greece, could have been the Mongol Empire, or 21st century Oregon. So it appears that St. Luke records yet another account of a teenage pregnancy and a young woman's search for help. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. But that's not what the story is about, is it? Mary would be just another teenage pregnancy statistic if the child that she carried were not the Christ. Like every pregnancy before and after hers, she conceived and a baby grew in her womb. But hers was different because she was truly a virgin. And the child that she carried would be called holy, the Son of God. That's what the angel Gabriel had told her, and she believed it. She said, "Let it be to me according to your word. I am the Lord's handmaiden." The Lord was in her womb. The God who created heaven and earth had entered his creation. The one who formed Adam and Eve out of the dust of the earth grew day by day in the womb of Eve's daughter. Within and behind Mary's visit to Elizabeth is the visit of God to humanity. So it's like St. Paul said, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God chose Mary, though she didn't deserve it, and she hadn't earned it in any way. There wasn't anything that made her more blessed because of her actions or who she was or what family she had been born from. She had none of these things to boast about, except the great mercy that God had shown to her. But you aren't forced to believe any of this. You can doubt the virgin birth. You can call it a myth and you can call it foolishness. You can despise and scorn the ways of God. Many do. The word on Nazareth streets was that Jesus was actually the son of Joseph. Now, more sophisticated stories say that his father was a Roman soldier who had forced himself on Mary. They say that it's impossible for a virgin to conceive and bear a child, and that it's completely unknown and unheard of. Well, of course, the second part of that is true. It is unknown and it is unheard of except for this one time. They boast that because it isn't possible today, that it never was possible, because they don't know of and have never heard of the works of God. Is it really impossible? The angel Gabriel told Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. God has done it. Reject Mary and her virgin birth, and you reject the foolishness of God by which he saves sinners. But believe this glorious, so-called impossible news, and you will find God doing the impossible of being gracious and receiving sinners. In contrast to the world's rejection of God and his ways, we have the example of Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. That little leap was John the Baptist's first sermon, an in utero announcement that the Lamb of God had come to take away the sins of the world, and that he had entered in the house with Mary. That's actually the picture that you see in the front of your bulletin. You need to find a way to put that on the large print. But the icon here is from the Eastern Orthodox Church, pictures Mary on the left and Elizabeth on the right. And inside Mary's womb is Christ. You can tell by the halo that has a cross in it. And he's blessing John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is in a state of worship. Now, this is in contrast to the idea that infants cannot believe because they're not able to voice their confession. Well, here's John the Baptist confessing the Christ because he was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Yes, it is possible for even infants to believe, even babies in the womb. Long before shepherds had knelt at the manger, and a year or two before the wise men came to offer their gifts to the Christ child, Elizabeth was the first to come and worship the Christ child. She confessed her faith and she praised God for the infant blessing that was given to Mary, and so did John in her womb. Jesus is the giver of every blessing, and so Elizabeth's threefold blessing. Blessed is Mary among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. This threefold blessing comes through Jesus Christ. Every blessing that we have in the Christian church comes through this baby who was conceived in Mary's womb. Young Mary is the vessel through whom the Savior came to Elizabeth and comes to us. Elizabeth calls her the mother of the Lord, of my Lord. That's an amazing confession, and actually it's something that rocked the early church. The title Theotokos, God-bearer, was something that a lot of people had a problem with. How could God be born? Because they thought it was impossible. But it's a profound confession to say that Mary is the mother of our Lord, the mother of God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he has a mother. The Lord who appeared to Moses in a burning bush and who led the children of Israel out of Egypt was contained in Mary's womb. As St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, in him the fullness of deity, basically all of God, dwells bodily. Jesus followed the same path as you and me. He experienced life in the womb as an infant, as a toddler, a preschooler, a young child, a preteen, a teenager, and then adulthood. God became man in this way so that he could be the Savior of everyone, of all ages, from the tiniest baby in the womb to the fully mature adult. He embraced and sanctified our entire human nature, our entire life as human beings, as creatures, so that he could proclaim the value of every life that God has made. From God's perspective, there's no such thing as a pre-human, disposable clump of cells. There are no unwanted children or leftover embryos. There is no life unworthy of life, no matter what the age. God cares about every child lost to miscarriage or stillbirth. He came to redeem them too. We know this from the 9 months that God spent in Mary's womb. From him we learn to care for all life, including the unborn from the day of conception, and to show mercy and compassion to all pregnant women, including those who are in so-called crisis pregnancies. Such pregnancies might be common in this fallen creation, but Jesus knows them all. And each pregnancy is a reminder of our Lord's incarnation and his visitation to us. And what we do unto these little ones, we do unto our Lord. This Lord whom Elizabeth praised while still in the womb is the same one who lived and walked this earth for 30 years, performing miracles and proclaiming the kingdom of God. He was born as a true man. His sinless life and his innocent suffering and death stand in for you. They are your righteousness. He has endured the wrath on your behalf. The wrath that you and I have deserved because of our sins was all nailed to the cross. And even now, Jesus remains the incarnate one, truly God and truly man, that he might be our advocate and our Savior, the one who intercedes for us before the throne of grace in heaven. The Lord has not abandoned his people or forgotten his promises. He still visits us with his salvation. The blessing that came to Elizabeth comes to us as well, in a way that looks just as foolish and weak and despised as a pregnant teenage Mary knocking on her relative's door. He who once visited Elizabeth while hidden in the womb now comes to visit us today, hidden in the lowliness of human words, simple water and bread and wine. My Lord is there, for whom no word which God speaks will be impossible. The prophecy that was given to Elizabeth concerning Mary is that she was blessed for believing the word of God, that it was true. It was her amen. But that's also true for us, because blessed are those who believe what God says, who trust in God's word. Blessed is he who believes that what the Lord has said to him will be accomplished. Of course, oftentimes that's easier said than done. In fact, it's so hard to do that none of us can do it by our own reason or strength. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It is impossible with man, but it is truly possible with God, just as everything is possible with God. So consider what the Lord has said to you. And your mind might say that it's impossible, but may the Holy Spirit say amen. He says, "You are mine. I gave you my name when you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He has said, "I forgive you all your sins, that whosoever sins you forgive on earth, they are forgiven in heaven." And a little later this morning, he is going to say, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." And he also says, "I am in you, and you are in me, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The question remains the same as what faced Elizabeth. How do I receive this visitation of the Lord today? Do I listen to the leap of John the Baptist as he proclaims the incarnate God? Do I rejoice in Jesus Christ, my Lord, born of the Virgin Mary? Do I wonder at why this great gift is granted to me? that God Almighty would come among us here in Lebanon, Oregon. Why would God come to us? But he does. And do I bless Mary for her faith, saying with Elizabeth, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Do I believe that God does exactly what he says, and that he gives me the forgiveness of my sins, life, and eternal salvation for the sake of his Son? Blessed are you, like Mary and Elizabeth, for so you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you believe God, who visits you this day according to his word. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.